Hey, this is Fred Nyman. Thanks for being a listener of the Sales Game Changers podcast. We have a great show today. I'm talking to Dave Schlosser. He's the COO of the value-added reseller Thundercat Technology. He was an engineer before he moved into sales. He talked about that transition. He also talked about building relationships and how can you take your sales career to the next level quickly by really building on those strong relationships and really understanding the needs and the mission of your customer. Consider joining the Institute for Excellence in Sales. We're a member organization based in Northern Virginia with members around the world. Go to i4esbd.com/membership, i4esbd.com/membership. Now sit back and listen to today's Sales Game Changers podcast with Dave Schlosser.
Welcome to the Sales Game Changers podcast with Fred Diamond, co-founder of the Institute for Excellence in Sales. Join Fred as he interviews top sales leaders from around the world, 3 days a week, seeking insights, information, and best practices to help you sell more, find new opportunities, and grow your career. Let's do it now.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Sales Game Changers podcast, the award-winning Sales Game Changers podcast, sponsored in part by the Institute for Excellence in Sales. My name is Fred Diamond. A couple times a week, we have a conversation with a top sales leader from across the globe. We talk about their careers. We get some tips for how you can take your sales career to the next level. I'm very excited today. I'm talking to Dave Schlosser. He's the COO of the value-added reseller Thundercat Technologies. Prior to coming to Thundercat, he held sales leadership positions at NetApp and Sun Microsystems. Dave, it's great to have you on the Sales Game Changers podcast. Why don't you tell us a little more about you that we need to know?
Thank you, Fred. So I've been in the industry about 35 years now, and I've held positions from engineering to sales engineer to sales rep, and I went into leadership roles in about the year 2000. I am local. I was born in Alexandria, and I live in Reston, Virginia, and I'm a big fan of local sports, and I'm a big family guy. I've got two boys that are a little older now, but we still do a lot of things together, sporting events and fishing and things like that. So,
very good. So again, tell us what you sell today. Tell us a little about your company and tell us what excites you about that.
So Thundercat's a value-added reseller. We have 83 people now, and we sell technology to the federal government and some to the SLED market. In particular, we sell to the data center. One of the things that most excites me about what we sell today is cybersecurity solutions. So we've got a team of guys that sell cybersecurity, and the growth in that space is just incredible. So that's what most excites me, really, because we're solving the mission of our customers, and we sell a whole vast array of things. And my sales reps have situational awareness in that space, so I think we're doing the government a good favor in solving problems for them. So that's probably the most exciting thing we're doing today. But in general, my sales reps are guys that sell, you name it, anywhere from storage technology to virtualization to servers to everything that goes into the data center, including switching and routing and all of those technologies.
Very good. A lot of people listening to the Sales Game Changers podcast, they like to know who the person I'm interviewing sells to. So what type of titles do you sell to? IT directors, CIOs, CTOs? Who do your people call on?
Yeah, I think everybody. Storage administrators, we get to the CIO level, certainly in healthcare and a lot of other accounts. Storage administrators, sometimes administrators, sometimes it's the guys that are writing code. Some of the times it's the people that are deciding what they're going to do with the cloud. But it's pretty much everybody that has anything to do with IT.
Very good. So you mentioned you were an engineer. Tell us how you first got into sales as a career.
So I was always told when I was young, when I was in the engineering role, that, hey, you belong in sales. You're in the wrong job. And probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever made when I was 21 years old, somebody offered me a sales job, and I just couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand the math. You know, I'm making a good amount of money. Somebody's going to pay me a lower base. And I'm like, I don't know if that's for me yet. And the shame is I should have taken that job, because years later, I realized I needed to be in sales. And then I spent this time getting through the engineering ranks to get into sales. And really, I got into sales by watching and studying all of the other sales reps and trying to take the best I could see in them and you know, bringing it into myself, and then going out and testing it. And I was rookie of the year in my first year of sales, and everything else just led to really selling and then becoming a leader, which happened in the year 2000.
So you said that a lot of people said to you, you should go into sales right away, but you were a little bit questioning that. What was it about you? What did they see in you that led the people that led your companies to think you should go into sales?
I love to talk. I love people. I love meeting people. And I just love relationships. Like, I'm not a guy that sits alone at home. And I really, my wife will tell you, you know, I'm pretty social. So I like to be out with my friends and or other people. I do a lot of technology events at night, and I like meeting people, learning their names, figuring out what they do, and figuring out how to position Thundercat within their businesses. So it's just, you know, loving people and wanting to be around people is really the root of it. But selling comes along with that, right? You've got to be smart about technology. You've got to know how to position it. You got to know whether you're selling the right thing to them and whether or not they're going to buy it. But relationships are everything. And I think that's what I like doing. And that's what I hope I'm good at.
Very good. What were some of the key lessons that you learned from some of those first few sales jobs?
So I think it's understanding the mission of your customers more so than anything. Because if you go in and you're talking about something that doesn't match, or you haven't done your homework, it's really about doing the homework and understanding, and then gaining trust and getting people to think that you're value added, right? Really, we're consultants and we're interrogators, right? We go out and we interrogate our customers and find out what their problems are. If they didn't have problems, we wouldn't be selling anything, but it's really about understanding their problems and then being able to solve a problem for them. And that's what I teach my salespeople to do. And I think that's what the best salespeople do.
Yeah. I'm curious, what are some of the problems that you guys solve for your customers?
You name it. It can be anywhere from data retention to not being able to get to data in a timely manner, backup and recovery windows. It can be, hey, we're going to stand up a bunch of new servers and we want an inexpensive way to do that. It can be, we just sold a big networking deal to a new customer where we put tens of millions of dollars in new routing and switching to stand up a new building. So we're the whole gamut. On the cybersecurity space, I really like that because we're making them safe, whether it be a firewall or another product. We are making our customers safe and giving them an actionable intelligence about their data and about who's trying to break in. And that's probably one of the best things we do and the thing that makes me most excited.
Just curious, on the engineering side, we've interviewed some people for the Sales Game Changers podcast that came from the engineering ranks or the consulting ranks, if you will. Now you're in sales, you're leading the sales organization. Do you ever find yourself kind of gravitating towards back to you as the engineer, or is that a part of what your job is today? You said you're solving your customers' problems, so you're able to marriage the two?
From my role, it's hiring really smart guys that can do the engineering thing. But the good thing for me is I have the background. I was a system administrator for a couple of years. That helped. I was a pre-sales guy for a couple of years. That certainly helps. And really, for me, it's about quickly assessing what's going on and trying to add value to a situation. But I rely on, we've got 13 engineers, and I rely on their expertise. Yeah. And they all have expertise in different places. Like I said, some of them are network guys, some are cyber guys. So I rely on them and the leader, the vice president of engineering that works for me, to help me make decisions and make sure we're doing the right thing for our customers and presenting the right solutions.
Very good. So let's learn a little more about you. Tell us what you're an expert in. Tell us a little more about your specific area of brilliance.
Oh, I don't know if there's anything brilliant, but I pride myself on relationships and finding people. And I think probably the hardest thing is to find talent. Mm. So, and what's that about? If I was just looking the other day, and we were doing some reports, and 90% of the people we hire are referrals. Hmm. So we have a huge network, whether it be LinkedIn or recruiters. But it's funny, even though there's tons of recruiters and we try to use recruiters, we find most of the people ourselves. So it's my sales rep saying, hey, you should hire this guy, or my engineer saying, hey, this is the right guy for us. And if you look back, we hired a cloud guy recently, internal referral. We just hired another networking engineer, internal referral. So for me, the biggest thing about the job is finding talent and finding people that fit our culture. Hmm. Because I won't let anybody come to the company if I haven't interviewed them. And that's really important. You want them to fit in. You want to make sure they're right. And then there's really five yeses or you get a no here. And I think that's really important too. It's something we put in place a long time ago. So five of the leaders have to say yes, or we won't hire the person. And it's funny how, you know, you'll get four yeses sometimes, but you won't get that fifth no. And sometimes that fifth is me. But I think it's a good methodology for finding talent. Other than that, I'm a coach. I love coaching every day, whether it's the young people that come here that want that are inside sales reps that want to be outside sales reps, or the people that are taking on a new challenge. We get guys that are data center guys. They need to learn cyber. So I've got to get them with my cyber team, and they've got to learn how to sell cyber. So I'm just part of linking people together and giving them some curricula to learn so that they can get smarter, because my deal here at a reseller is you've got to sell everything, and you've got to find a new product every year. You've got to keep expanding. So I'm just this player coach trying to help people get along internally and externally, and I'm always coaching them about how to do better and how to do more. And half of that is relationships, right? So that's the other piece to it, is my relations. It's just amazing, you know, being around 35 years in this industry. I know a lot of people. And I know them well enough to be able to make the first call. So that's the other thing I like to do, is help make the first call, put them in touch with somebody at one of these OEMs so that they can go make a quicker relationship. And I'd hope that my reputation is good enough that when I make that call, you know, the person they're getting to says, oh, I know Dave. Dave's a good guy. And that's all that's key. That's very important to the whole situation. So that's another value add. But every day it's coaching and leading and really helping people get somewhere from where they weren't before.
Dave, so again, you worked at NetApp and Sun Microsystems. They were two big hardware manufacturers in the technology space. Now you're with a value-added reseller called Thundercat Technology. What are some of the characteristics, some of the traits that would make that someone needs to have to be successful in sales for a company like this?
So Thundercat is a lot different than selling for NetApp. Mm-hmm. NetApp, you know, you've got a brand name that's different, and you pretty much get a territory where there's something that's being sold. At this point, certainly when they do, the hundreds of millions they do. At Thundercat, we partner with all of those OEMs, and we have end user relationships. So we've got to have the OEM relationship that's broad. You can't just sell. Always say you can't be a one trick pony. You've got to have broad relationships, and then we have the end user relationship. So it's the combination of knowing the customers deeply, understanding OEM technology, and taking the right thing in to support the mission. So is it different? My guys get paid off of profit, right? Mm-hmm. The OEM guys get paid off of bookings. So it's a little different there too. But I look for guys that have 10 plus a year's experience at an OEM customer and then bring them in. They're usually good at selling one or two products, and we broaden their portfolio and they go sell more stuff. And if they weren't selling cyber, they sell cyber. If they weren't selling cloud, we teach them how to do cloud. And the same thing with collaboration, which we're doing a lot with today. So,
very good. So again, you're the COO of the value-added reseller Thundercat Technology. Again, you work for Sun and NetApp over your career. You must have had some amazing sales mentors along the way. Why don't you tell us about an impactful sales career mentor and how they impacted your career?
I've had many, and I think there's so many. When I was at Sun Micro, believe it or not, the growth was so crazy. I had 21 bosses in 18 years. Now, part of it was because I was getting promoted and changing jobs, right, going from technical to sales. But I learned a lot from many of them. And I've been around guys, you've done other podcasts with guys. I've been around, you know, the best inspirational leaders, and I try to model myself after the inspirational leader. I've been around guys that are probably when you find a vice president or a leader of sales that's going to get involved in an RFQ and actually add value, that's amazing. There aren't many of them. Mm-hmm. Most guys hire really smart guys, stay out of the way, but I've had leaders that also can add value to a situation. We did a big procurement one year, and the leader is the one that wrote the introductory to this RFP that was 110 pages. You would have never thought he was the guy, but he kind of got the spirit of the whole RFP. So as a leader myself, I'm always intrigued by these other guys. The other quality I really like is people that are quick and that understand a situation quickly. Yeah. So I can tell them about a deal and they get it. And if I talk to them a couple weeks later, they still get it. So I think listening is one of the key traits and being able to evaluate a situation. So most of the best leaders I've ever worked for have inspiration. They help in a procurement. They help make the whole team better. They can get involved in a situation, figure it out quickly, and they're good at making the right decisions. And that's what I try to do, is pride myself on that too. And I take everybody that I ever work for and kind of build my own style and try to do the same thing for my people.
That's powerful. So what are two of the biggest challenges you face today as a sales leader?
I think it's always hiring. It's just so hard. If you look at the market and how low unemployment is, It really comes down to building a company of culture and having a place that people want to come to, and selling our brand. So I think people, if you go out there, I think people pretty much know about Thundercat. And I had a guy in here the other day and he said, you know, no one ever leaves. Well, that's a pretty good thing. That's now, good why thing. Is that? We want to be recognized as one of the best places to work. We constantly evaluate ourselves and we look at, we do a survey every year and we take that survey and say, hey, what are we doing wrong? And it could be as simple as somebody wants a different soda in our room, because we provide drinks and we provide food in our office so that our reps and our staff are happy when they come here. So it can be simple as just getting somebody something that they want, whether it's a snack or soda. It's a little thing, but we have a gym membership, right? So the hardest thing I do is find good talent, but the more I build a culture here at Thundercat and we have a family and a place people want to come to, the easier it is to find those people. And again, when they're referrals, you got somebody here that's helping me sell the position. And then it's about getting the math right and making sure that they're the right person and putting them in a situation where they can thrive. But it's probably always going to be that. There is one other thing. It's making sure we stay diverse. And we spend a lot of our time looking at technology and trying to figure out if we're doing the right things. So cloud was something we were talking about for 4 years, and cloud is something now we're trying to focus on. So that's the other hard part, is making sure we make the right bets for our business. It's very important that, and it's what us as a leader, what I owe the sales reps and the staff, to help them figure out where we should be going and to make sure we're relevant. So cloud, cybersecurity, when I first got here, was one of the things that we started. And that's my job and my boss's job, is to go out there and make sure we understand the industry and that we change our business constantly or sell new things that help our reps survive and help the company survive. So
yeah,
those are the two biggest challenges.
Yeah, I mean, typically with a value-added resale, you're placing some bets. It's of course always been like that. I used to work for Apple Computer and Compaq Computer, and I saw some resellers, value-added resellers, that were very successful because they placed the right bet at the right time, and some that didn't make the right bet at the right time. And you guys definitely have a great reputation, and being on the leading edge of things like cybersecurity and storage and cloud are definitely strategies to be successful. You know, one quick thing about hiring, it is a challenge, and it comes up not infrequently on the Sales Game Changers podcast. As a matter of fact, 30% of the sales leaders that we interview for the podcast say that hiring, recruiting, and retaining top-tier talent is their biggest challenge. On the way over here for today's interview, I was listening to the radio, and a very large company in town called Leidos, Leidos, placed an advertisement where they were going to pay a $2,000 referral fee, not just to employees, but to anyone on the planet, in theory, who would make a referral to Leidos for an employee. This was on like a rock and roll station, you know. So the challenge to get great talent is obviously becoming huge. It's always been, even more so. Dave, you've had some great successes. Again, you worked at NetApp, Sun Microsystems. Now you're the COO of the very successful value-added reseller Thundercat Technology. Take us back to the number one specific sales success or win from your career you're most proud of.
I think there's no one deal. It's more about taking the guys that were in the position I was. So there's a bunch of other people out there that were engineers. I was one of the first guys that was blessed as an engineer back at Sun Micro that became a sales rep. So if there's an engineer that I think is in the wrong place, meaning they're these type A's, these guys that have the technology and they're in the wrong job, I try to help them get there. And there are many people across this beltway that I have helped. So my favorite success is mentoring guys that come from a different place and end up having success. And some of these guys are running companies now. So that's my proudest moment, is to help people the same way I was helped by all of my friends and the best leaders I was around. It's really about mentoring people. And some people don't know. They don't understand that they're in the wrong place and they're scared and they need a mentor. So mentoring is so important. Everybody should have one. And I had mentors way back. And everybody that's a young sales rep or aspires to be a sales rep should have a mentor and should pick somebody.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that. So again, you were an engineer, and originally you didn't make the move into sales, but then eventually you did. Enough people told you that you're good for this. Was there a moment, something that happened early in your career? Because a lot of people listen to this podcast are thinking about moving into careers in sales, or they know people who should. Was there a moment, that's something where someone kind of tapped you on the shoulder or someone said, Dave, you know, you're in the wrong job. We really think you'd be better suited here. Or tell us about how you physically made that transition from engineering into sales.
Yeah, I think once I decided to stay in that engineering role, it was just a time thing. Hmm. There weren't any engineers that had ever become sales reps. And I had a lot of people telling me, but I think I as a pre-sales engineer, I started studying the sales reps and seeing what made the best of them. Then I just made the decision, I want to be in sales. And I went after every job that was out there. So I interviewed for many jobs. I got turned down a bunch of times, and I finally found the right fit. And I ended up calling on the U.S. Marine Corps, which is one of the greatest customers ever. But in the leadership role, so I sold for a bunch of years, and then I was tapped on the shoulder to become a leader. Mm-hmm. I was picked out, and somebody said, hey, you need to be in a leadership role. And that was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because once I got in that leadership role, it was like my favorite thing I ever did. Not that sales wasn't great. I love sales. And anybody that's thinking about it should do exactly what I said. Find a mentor. Find somebody that's going to help you. If you're in a technical role, go out with the sales reps. Start studying them. Why do people like them? Why do they sell? Why are they successful? Take the best of them and make it yourself. And that's what I did. And that's what I would suggest everybody else did. But when I went into leadership, that was kind of it. It was the place I wanted to be. And the thing I love to do that gets me up every morning and sends me to work happy and motivated.
You know, usually I ask at this point, do you ever question being in sales? Do you ever think to yourself, it's too hard? It's just not for me. But I think you just answered that question. Before we take a short break and listen to one of our sponsors, I just want to ask you one quick question. You just talked about how much you really enjoy sales leadership, and you've talked about mentorship. What's your favorite thing? What is your favorite thing to do as a sales leader? Is it the mentor? Is it to look at a spreadsheet? Tell us what the one thing is that really gets you juiced in the morning.
Seeing customers and or talking about deals or difficulty within a deal and people asking my advice, what should we do? How should we position this? That's probably my favorite thing, is just that back to that coaching side where trying to add value, whether it's in a relationship or a situation, those are probably the funnest things I do. And my door is always open. So we're always having counseling about something. Sometimes I'm being counseled, but most of the time I'm just trying to add value to a situation. And that's the funnest thing. That's the part I love the most. I do love seeing customers. Mm. Sometimes I don't see them enough. Mm. That's probably still one of my favorite things, because I love the first relationship and making that first relationship. And I don't know that I'm teaching anything there, but I'm certainly adding value when I go out, because I try to be a friendly guy that remembers people's names, shakes people's hands, listens to them. And when we get out of the sales situation, we come back and we get a strategy. And I think going there helps me out. So
good. Very good. So actually, once again, this is the Sales Game Changers podcast. We're talking to Dave Schlosser. He's a COO of the value-added reseller Thundercat Technologies. We're going to take a very short break. We're going to listen to one of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to ask Dave for his specific tips on how you can take your sales career to the next level. My name is Fred Diamond. This is the Sales Game Changers podcast.
Sales Game Changers. Are you confused? Who to engage for your company's sales trainings needs? Are the options overwhelming and you don't want to make a mistake and bring in the wrong training provider? Trust the IES to help you make the right decision. We have researched and analyzed many of the top sales training companies and will help you ensure that you have the right resource to train your sales team around the globe. Go to i4esbd.org/training for more information.
Dave, what's the most important thing you want to get across to the junior selling professionals listening around the globe to help them take their career to the next level?
So I think you brought up that, you know, people don't call you back and it's hard to get appointments. I just say be tenacious and use your resources. When my reps don't get a call back, we're constantly trying to figure out, okay, we're going to look at LinkedIn. Who knows this guy? Who's ever sold to him before? Who's a partner that knows how to get to this guy, what this guy likes, what he wants to hear, right? Obviously, you've got to have the technology along with that. But I'd say to the young guy, never give up. First of all, you have to attack a org chart. So you need to attack the whole org chart. Go after the whole organization. Tell the story about the other guys you're selling to, because that always helps. Customers like when you talk about other customers that are in the account, but use your resources to get to the people. Because I think the young guys get discouraged. Hey, I can't get to the CIO. I can't get to this other person. Well, you've got a whole company of people. Somebody there sold to them before. One of your friends on LinkedIn knows how to talk to them and how to get to them. You got to use all resources. Never say no, never give up. And, you know, put it on your list. It's not going to happen overnight. Sometimes it takes 6 months to get to a person you want to get to, but never give up and use all your resources to get to them.
So I have a question. You brought up the word relationships a lot. And of course, you know, in the vendor reseller world, there is relationships have happened. As a matter of fact, one of the cool things about the Sales Game Changers podcast is I've interviewed people who have brought up people that we've also interviewed that they've been working with for 20 years. And there's some people, of course, that we've interviewed already on the Sales Game Changers podcast that we talked about prior to this that you have long and deep working relationships. Let's talk about relationships for a second. And what would you say, how would you coach, you know, a junior selling professional in their early 20s? What would you tell them to do to start building these relationships? What specifically should they be doing?
So I think on the OEM side, it's knowing their counterpart and mm-hmm. getting to know their counterpart's leaders. So for me personally, right, if we have a problem, I'm not going to talk to the sales rep usually at the other company. I'm going to talk to the leader. Well, how did I get to know all these leaders? I was a sales rep one time. I wanted to know who was running the company. Because if you have a problem as a sales rep, you're ending up in conversation or you're letting the conversation go, meaning you're letting your counterpart at the OEM take it up a level. I always took it up myself. So for me, anything we're selling, I have that relationship. But I would say to young guys, don't just know the sales rep you're selling to. Know his engineer. Know his engineering boss. Know your sales rep's manager and try to know the VP at that company. It can't hurt you, right? And go to the events they're going to be at. Introduce yourself. Tell them about the sales rep you're working with, whether you know how you like them and why they're good, and it'll only help you get a better relationship.
Very good. Why don't you tell us about some of your habits, some of your sales habits that have led to your sales success?
I think it's kind of simple. Meeting people, remembering their name, you know, using your whatever skills you have. Some of that's a smile, it's charisma, it's whatever skills you have. But, you know, if you see them a second time and you can't remember their name and don't even know their face, that's a problem. I'm a faces guy. If I see you, I will know you 20 years from now. So I think that's a big deal. But it's that first impression. It's when you have that first conversation, you know, figuring out what they do. People want to talk about themselves. So let them talk about themselves. If you're not good at remembering, go write it down. Mm-hmm. When I used to sell to the Marines, I would go talk to the Marines. I'd have a conversation. I'd leave there. I'd write down, this guy's got two kids. He likes volleyball and he runs avidly. And when I went back to see him, I'd look at my notes and I'd go say, hey, how's the volleyball going? Because I knew he was on the team. It's huge to people. They want to talk about themselves.
Yes.
Now, beyond that, you've got to gain trust and you've got to take value to them. And if you can take value to them, you can break the ice with all of the little things that you remember from them. But if you take value to them and you can help their mission, they're looking at you as a trusted advisor. So you gain the relationship and grow your trusted advisor role. And that's what I like to do. And that's what I like to teach.
So. Yeah. Good. So what's a major initiative you're working on today to ensure your continued success?
It's cloud. Mm. No doubt. I think everybody in the VAR space is trying to figure it out and try to understand it. And it's different. So I think we're doing the same. We're trying to figure it out. I'm not going to say we have it completely figured out, but we're doing cloud deals. We're learning from the cloud deals. And we're teaching our sales reps, and I think that's the biggest thing. It's teaching our sales staff how to talk about cloud, how to be a trusted advisor. Because if you just say cloud, you don't even – I mean, it's another word. It's another term. We're teaching them what cloud really is, whether that's hybrid cloud, on-prem cloud, or off-prem cloud, and teaching them the value of an Amazon, the value of a Microsoft, so they know exactly what those differentiators are, and the value of Thundercat and Thundercat services if we need to do the on-prem stuff. So cloud's probably the scariest thing for most people. We're embracing it and trying to figure it out. And if you can talk cloud and you can end up selling cloud or having a conversation about other infrastructure, we end up having the cloud conversation and selling more infrastructure that we already sell because we become trusted. And we're giving advice on whether they should put an application in the cloud or not. And I think it's important to understand the application level and whether or not something should go to the cloud or not. So that's what we're teaching our people. And it's probably the biggest thing that we're focused on for the future, because we're not exactly sure if that's going to be, if we're going to be doing hundreds of millions in clouds, or it's going to change.
Yeah.
Right now, we're still selling infrastructure every day, and we're very successful. But we see the cloud thing, and it's not a passing fad. It's something that's real. So we're paying a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of interesting as you're talking here. I mean, it comes up the whole concept of how much product knowledge that you need to have, and you know the real differentiation between the guys who are hugely successful. You really know the product, and you really understand how it fits into your customer's environment and where your customer is going, as compared to relying upon. Back in the day, you know, when you were an engineer, I worked with a lot of engineers when I was at Apple and Compaq, and a lot of the engineers felt that they were more valuable than the sales professional because they knew more. You know, now you got to know stuff to be at that next level. You really do.
You certainly should be teaching yourself every night,
yeah,
and reading something about technology. Or it's the same thing. We've got very talented engineers. So I find myself going to the product pitches, mm-hmm, and listening to the product pitches, right? I may not get 100% of it at this point, but I get enough to be knowledgeable. And that's what every sales rep has to do. If you hear of a trend or somebody starts talking about something like hybrid cloud, you better figure out what it is, because you look like a fool if you can't articulate on any of these technologies that are buzzwords. And
I mean, people talking about. The customer doesn't need you. I mean, at that
point,
the customer needs you to be that. You mentioned the word trusted advisor before. The customer needs you to help them achieve their mission. You said that in the very, very first answer is understanding the mission of the customer, doing your homework, getting these trusted relationships. Dave, we all know that sales is hard. Like we mentioned before, people don't always return your phone calls or your emails. You deal with the federal government, which of course has had challenges like shutdowns and continuing resolutions and budgets being delayed, all these things that we hear about. But why have you continued? I mean, we can get through this podcast interview. We get your passion for your customer. We get your passion for building relationships and working with partners. But what is it about sales as a career that has kept you going?
It's just what I love to do. And I think it goes right along with the diversity of the company.
Mm.
You know, again, I'm either learning a little bit about technology, or like the whole cloud thing, the VP of engineering and me were the ones that did all the research. And then we presented to the CEO and say, we want to do this, and getting buy-in. Well, it didn't happen overnight. It took months and months and years to do that. So I think diversifying this company so that we're around is the most important thing. And so I get a little bit of, you know, hey, I get to go out and see customers and sell, but also figuring out where we're going to go is the most important thing, because someday I'm going to retire. Mm. When I retire, I want this company to be here and I want it to be thriving. So, you know, right now we're focused on cybersecurity and cloud as newer initiatives. There'll be something coming down the road. We're going to study it. We're going to live it. We're going to know it. And we're going to teach it to our people. I think that's the most important thing. The government is not going away. They're going to continue to spend money. We need to make sure we have the knowledge to sell the right things to them as things change.
Very good. So I want to thank Dave Schlosser. He's the COO of the value-added reseller Thundercat Technology, for all the great insights you've given us today. Dave, thank you so much for being on today's show. Again, we have listeners around the globe. Why don't you give us a final thought to inspire them today?
So in particular to the young sales guys, don't ever let anybody tell you can't do something that you want to do. Or if you're an engineer that wants to become a sales rep, I had plenty of people tell me that I couldn't do something. And that's probably, you know, if you believe that, then you're going to live it and you're going to think you can never get there. So I go back, don't ever let anybody tell you can't do something that you really want to do, and have a plan, pick a mentor. Figure out if you need to go take more training. Figure out if you need to get in more sales environments. If you have a plan and a mission and you have the right people supporting you, you will get there. So don't ever let anybody tell you can't get where you want to go. I didn't let them do it for me, and you shouldn't let them do it for you.
Very good. So Dave, what's the best way for the audience to reach you?
LinkedIn's probably the best place to get me.
Very good. So we'll have a link to Dave's LinkedIn profile on the show notes. Again, we transcribe every Sales Game Changers podcast episode. You can find the complete transcription at www.salesgamechangerspodcast.com/Dave Schlosser, DaveSchlosser. For more information on our sponsor, the Institute for Excellence in Sales, go to i4esbd.org. i4esbd.org. For more information on this podcast, go to salesgamechangerspodcast.com. To subscribe, go to the Apple Podcast Store, Stitcher, or Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please go up to the Apple Podcast Store. If you are a subscriber, please go up, give us a 5-star rating. say something nice about the podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. Again, I want to thank Dave Schlosser for the great insights today. My name is Fred Diamond. Now go out there and go sell.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Game Changers podcast with your host, Fred Diamond. Go to i4esbd.org/podcast for show notes and more information on today's guest. Subscribe to the podcast to get tips and advice from sales leaders around the globe to help you take your sales to the next level. Thanks for listening. Take care and go sell.